Welcome to the Pelvic Floor Fit Podcast. My name is Dr. Emily, and I am a mama of three under three. I'm a pelvic health physical therapist, and I'm a certified pre and postnatal fitness coach. And it is my absolute passion to empower y'all to achieve a pain-free pregnancy, the birth of your dreams, and a confident postpartum recovery. Just a quick reminder about information that I share in this podcast. It is not intended to be taken as medical advice intended to diagnose or treat any illness or condition. You should speak with your healthcare provider about any of the topics discussed and how they may or may not pertain to you. While I am a pelvic health physical therapist and certified pre and postnatal fitness coach, we do not have a therapist-patient relationship or trainer-client relationship. Hi, ladies. Today, I am really pumped to talk to y'all about why you may want to consider ditching high-intensity interval training, intense CrossFit, high-calorie burning sessions, and long intensive cardio sessions if you're trying to conceive. This might be a little bit controversial, but facts are facts. And I think it's important to be really honest and transparent about these things because there are a lot of ladies who are really struggling to conceive. And if we're not being honest about all the factors that can lead to that difficulty, we're really doing them a disservice. So I'm not saying with this that you cannot conceive if you engage in those exercises. I'm not saying that at all. But we do know that these types of exercise are not metabolically advantageous. They are not particularly supportive to our hormones that are conducive to healthy fertility. And so that is why, like, if you really are struggling to conceive, you may want to consider ditching these types of exercises, or at least cutting way back and focusing on more supportive forms of exercise. You know, we get so emotional about the types of exercise that we do. But if I was saying this about food, you know, it'd be like, well, duh, you know, like, obviously eating Funyuns is probably not the best thing for your fertility. Maybe you should eat, you know, a fruit or vegetable instead of a Funyun, you know, and like nobody would be losing their minds. But when it comes to exercise, we have these like extreme emotional reactions to, oh my gosh, but I love that form of exercise. So I'm not saying you can't, I'm just saying it might be something you want to consider, and I'll explain why. But additionally, I'd also like to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit on that, because why are we so emotional about the form of exercise that we feel like we have to do or is really important to us, or, you know, whatever? And I think a lot of it has to do with our mindset behind exercise. I think a lot of us as women exercise as a form of trying to force our bodies to look a certain way, or as a form of punishment for when we don't eat quote unquote right, or because we're afraid of what our bodies will look like if we stop doing this intense exercise. And I can even speak to that from personal experience. I way over-exercised before becoming a mother. I was training in the gym with weights at least 5 hours a week. I was running at least 20 miles a week on top of that. And that was as a new grad, a newlywed, or, you know, fiance and then newlywed, because we conceived a month into our marriage. But, you know, I was way over exercising. I was way under eating. I mean, I was seriously eating like 1600 to 1700 calories on the days that I was working out. So that's insane. I actually wound up having to eat 3000 calories a day postpartum with my son to help heal that metabolic damage that I did to my body pre-pregnancy. So definitely don't do what I did. I got incredibly lucky that I was even able to get pregnant. I really suffered. My first pregnancy was not great. My first birth was not great. You can go listen to previous episodes to hear about that. So I have done it the wrong way. I get it. I get being fearful that you're going to get less lean, that you're going to look quote unquote fat if you don't do these super, super intense exercises. A lot of us think that we have to work harder to look better. And I honestly probably never would have believed that the inverse was true until I lived it, because we are just so conditioned to believe that. But I'm telling you, when we are pushing our bodies so hard with these super intense forms of exercise, we really are creating some serious metabolic damage, because we are spiking our cortisol, we're keeping it really high, we're not allowing it to come back down. Essentially, we're getting our bodies stuck in this survival mode, in this fight or flight mode. We're not allowing it to actually relax. And for our bodies to support our fertility, for us to have a good hormonal balance, we have to allow our bodies to feel safe. That's when they are, you know, optimized for reproduction, is when they feel safe. If you think about this in nature, it makes all the sense in the world. Like, if things were horrible and you're barely surviving, that is not the time you want to be pregnant. That is not the time you want to be having babies. So your body is not going to be prioritizing that. It's not going to be putting resources towards supporting your fertility, towards supporting a healthy pregnancy. It's going to be purely focused on just survival. Our adrenals are going to be really taxed. Our thyroid is going to start to suffer. Like, there are all these things that I know now that make sense if you actually think about it, but we are just so stuck in this place as women of like exercising for emotional reasons instead of rationally thinking about what really matters and what we need to prioritize. So that's why I really recommend that you think hard about your mindset behind your exercise, why you're doing what you're doing. And if you are struggling to conceive, or even if you're not, even if you know, you're not really there yet, but this is something that you've kind of heard about, like, I'd really, really challenge you to reconsider how you train and think about what your goals are and what you're trying to accomplish. Because you can be lean, you can look awesome, you can feel confident. You don't have to destroy your metabolism and your hormonal health to do it. And I will say, since I made that shift between my son and my daughter, I got to a place where I felt pretty good. I felt pretty fit. I looked pretty good. Maybe not quite as awesome as I did pre-pregnancy, but I also had a pretty crazy story. You know, I had a cesarean. I also destroyed my ACL and MCL when I was 6 months postpartum with my son, had reconstructive knee surgery, and then found out I was pregnant with my daughter. So my entire second pregnancy, I was recovering from that. So there were a lot of reasons I didn't get to like my pre-pregnancy shape between babies one and two. I was pretty close, but not quite there. After baby number two, I got back down to my pre-pregnancy weight. I got back to my pre-pregnancy fitness level, and I didn't train anywhere near like I used to. And I felt so much better. My mood was more stable. My hair and nails and skin looked great. Like, I had so much, I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, I haven't had this much energy. And I don't even know how long, like, since I was a kid, like, even in my teen years, I didn't have this much energy. So I promise you, you don't have to punish your body. You don't have to treat it like garbage to look good. You can be ripped. I had a six pack at 14, 15 weeks pregnant this pregnancy, and I wasn't even counting calories, let alone cutting calories. I was exercising like maybe 30 minute sessions, maybe, if I was lucky. I was only running because I felt like it. I wasn't running crazy miles. Like, it's totally possible and totally doable, and something that I really, really enjoy taking women through, because y'all deserve better. And unfortunately, you're not getting the right information a lot of the time. Another analogy that I like to kind of use to explain this is, because if we think about money, it makes more sense, right? So if we are like spending every dime that comes in, which is like engaging in these really, really intense forms of exercise, like if we're spending all of the energy that our body gets and more, if we're spending every dime that we make and more, you think that's a good time to invest in something long term like property or a business or something? No, like you're in the hole. You're not going to be thinking about investing for the future. You're barely scraping by. Whereas if you're only spending a portion of what comes in, if you're saving like 25% of what you make all the time, then yeah, you might get into a position where you're like, you know what? I think we are going to invest in this property or this business or, these stock options or whatever, because you have that flexibility and you can be focused on the future and building something, besides just surviving in the moment. And I'd really encourage you to shift your thought process about exercise to adapt that mindset as well. What does support our hormonal health as far as exercise goes? What can actually improve our metabolism and therefore improve our hormonal balance and give us an even better chance of conceiving and actually having a great pregnancy, having a great birth experience, recovering really well? Like, the awesome thing is this answer, it helps with all of those things. It's like eating well, It's like, sure, making sure that you're eating enough, making sure that you're eating enough protein, that you're getting in the essential vitamins and nutrients and minerals and all those things is going to be great for improving your fertility, but it's also going to make pregnancy that much better. It's going to make birth that much better. It's going to make recovery that much better. Same thing with exercise. So you want to focus first and foremost on building a really strong physical foundation, which to me means connecting really well to your breath, making sure that you have a really good breathing pattern, that you can use it for stress management, for efficiency during exercises, and that we can also adapt it as we go through pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, because obviously our organs and everything are shifting around. So we have to be able to stay in touch with our breath throughout those changes. So that's kind of what I mean by that. Same thing with our core and our pelvic floor, having a really great connection with those muscles, understanding the different types of contractions that those muscles need to be able to do. A lot of people think, just like Kegels and sucking their belly button to their spine. There's a lot more to it than that. That's a start. But that's just actually building a connection. That's not working on strength versus endurance versus power versus coordination during a movement. Like, there are a lot of things that we can improve upon with those muscle contractions. Additionally, we want to work on having really high quality mobility with all of our joints, having stiff or less than ideally mobile joints in one area affects our body in other spots. So like if your thoracic spine, the part of your spine that your ribs connect to, is really stiff, like it is in most of us, that can affect our lower back and we can wind up having back pain. If we have really stiff ankles, like that can wind up causing hip or back pain. Like, it's all connected. So we want to have really high quality mobility throughout our bodies as well. And then we want to really focus on having good joint stability and overall strength. And the beautiful thing is, if you focus on these things, your nervous system will be happy. You will have improved muscle mass, which, if you're exercising to look good, that is the most efficient thing you could do, is build muscle mass, because A, you're gonna look a lot better. Everyone thinks, like, if you build muscle mass, you're gonna look bulky. I promise you, you're not accidentally gonna get bulky. Like, I lifted, again, 5 hours a week minimum for 6 years, and I never looked bulky. It's really hard to get bulky as a woman. You have to, I mean, short of doing steroids, you are going to have to put in some insane work and some really intentional things with your nutrition to even be able to get bulky. So don't worry about getting bulky. Building muscle is going to make you look really hot, and it's going to improve your metabolism so that you can eat more and still be losing weight. Like, it's just, it's like the most amazing biohack ever. Just build muscle and you will look so much better with less effort. Additionally, as women, we're going to lose muscle mass as we age, which affects everything. It causes more aches and pains. It doesn't allow us to be as independent or do the things that we want to do. So the more muscle mass we can build in our 20s, 30s, and 40s, the better off we're going to be for lifelong health. It also improves our bone mineral density because we're putting those stressors through those bones and making them nice and strong, which again, as women, we tend to lose bone mineral density later in life. So, I mean, it's just for so many reasons, strength training is the way to go, especially from a pelvic health perspective. So it's going to set you up for an improved metabolism, to look better, to spend less time exercising, to eat more, to balance your hormones so that you can conceive more easily, and so you can have a better pregnancy, it's more enjoyable, have a better birth experience, recover better, I mean, even have a better breastfeeding journey, like all of the things. It's, I mean, like I said, it's just like improving your diet. It's not just one thing, it's everything. It will make everything about your motherhood journey a million times better. I love to teach women to watch for these types of signs of overtraining, because you might be thinking like, okay, I hear you, Emily, but like, it's really not that bad. Like, I'm doing fine. Like, I mean, yeah, I probably exercise a little bit, and I'm even speaking from to like younger Emily, you know, yeah, I know I train a lot, but I mean, I'm eating enough. I'm fine. Like, I'm doing good. Like, I've got lots of, I mean, so many people can't even wake up at this time in the morning, and I do, and da 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 da. I'm doing just fine. These are the factors that I'd love for you to track, to really check in with where you are metabolically. How's your sleep? If your sleep isn't wonderful, that might be something you need to think about. How is the quality of your hair, your skin, your nails? Brittle, dry? Might be a sign that you're overtraining. How is your digestion? You bloated? Are you having 1 to 2 bowel movements every day really easily? Constipation is another sign that we're possibly overtraining. How's your mood regulation? Is your mood like crazy all over the place? Are you super reactive to things? Or do things just roll off your back and not really bother you? Reactivity is another sign that our metabolism isn't doing so hot. How are your cycles? You have really painful menstrual cycles? You have PMS really bad? That's also not a very good sign. How do you respond to your training? Are you getting really sore afterwards and staying pretty sore? Are you recovering really well? Have you had injuries popping up? How quickly do those injuries heal? How often do you get sick? That's a big one too. Do you have any pelvic floor symptoms? Do you ever leak when you cough, sneeze, laugh, jump, run? Do you have any back pain, hip pain, things like that? I think those are the big ones I wanted to talk about. But again, like if you're struggling to conceive, that's another big sign, like you might want to consider you could be overtraining. So again, I'm not saying you cannot ever do CrossFit. You cannot ever do HIIT. Honestly, CrossFit is one of those where you really could do CrossFit and, you know, be really intentional about how you do it. But I think tracking those types of biomarkers makes a big difference. Instead of focusing on the intensity, how many minutes you spend doing it, how many calories you're eating, things like that. Focus on how you're feeling. Focus on the things that your body is screaming at you. because this will tell you a lot about whether you're in an optimal training zone or if you're exceeding it. It can also be a sign that you're under training. But again, this episode's really a little bit more geared towards those of us who overtrain. I do have an episode talking about undertraining, which I'll try to link down below if you might be wondering if you're undertraining. But there's definitely a sweet spot, and it's hard to find, and it's a moving target too. You know, there are going to be times in life where we really have to pull back quite a bit. Like postpartum is one of those. Like postpartum is not going to be the time to be training for that marathon if we really want long-term health. You know, we're going to have to make some choices. We're going to have to prioritize what really matters. There are other times in life when like our stress levels are pretty low, we've got good support, and we can really push for those, you know, harder physical goals, and that's great. But really think hard about what you want in the long run and what's really important and what's going to support your long-term health. I promise you, you'll be so grateful that you did. I cannot tell you how much I wish I could go back in time and like shake younger Emily. but I'm really grateful that I've learned these things, I've implemented them, and made this shift. It's made my life so much more enjoyable, and I hope that you can glean some wisdom from it as well and do the same. I would love if you felt like this was helpful, but you need a little bit more of like, okay, what's my next step? How do I like really analyze what I'm doing and make some changes? I have a freebie guide called 5 Steps to Your Perfect Workout Plan. I think it's a great way to kind of analyze what you're currently doing. It asks you some really important, insightful questions, and then helps you to like plan through what you're going to make your workout plan from here on out and how you're going to check back in with yourself to see if it's working for you. So I'm going to link that down below in case that sounds helpful. Additionally, I have some great workshops depending on, you know, which chapter of motherhood you might find yourself in. 30 Days to Fit and Confident is a great one, no matter what season of motherhood you find yourself in. It takes you through some really supportive workouts, some really great pelvic health warm-ups and things like that. It gives you a lot of really important mindset things. There's also Birth Like a Boss. And even if you haven't conceived, it tells you a lot about how to prepare your body really well for pregnancy, how to have a really great pregnancy, how to have a really great birth experience. I also have one called Restore Your Core, which is much more focused on like really, really building that solid foundation with our pelvic health and our core and our breath and those things, and like kind of going back to the basics, back to our foundation. So if any of those sound like something that would be helpful for you and you want more of like a step-by-step, let me hold your hand and take you through this process approach, those are a fabulous resource. So I will also have that in the show notes. I hope this is helpful. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Feel free to email me, hit me up on Instagram, or however you prefer to communicate. And otherwise, I will talk to you next week. I hope you have a wonderful and blessed week. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Pelvic Floor Fit podcast. It is my absolute honor to empower, educate, and inspire you mamas to have the most amazing motherhood journey possible. If this was helpful for you, please leave me a 5-star review and send this to a mama who needs to hear it.